So let's look at some things. I'm going to read quite a bit. I want you to see some things in this portion of Scripture with Ruth. It says in Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, "Now it came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. The names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites of Bethlehem in Judah. Now they entered the land of Moab, and they remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was left with her two sons. They took for themselves Moabite women as wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they lived there about 10 years. Then both of the sons died, and the woman was bereft of her two children and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the land of Moab. For she had heard in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. So she departed from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah." So one of the things that I'll say to you right here about favor, sometimes when things are going wrong in your life, this woman had lost her husband, now she's lost her two sons, she's only left with her daughters-in-law, and if you look at that in the natural, I believe there are some people in this room that you face things like that in your life, and you're like, "Oh Lord, what is going on?" But what we're going to learn here is that time in her life was actually setting up divine favor. Sometimes in your life, the things that seem to be the enemy winning and the enemy getting control are actually just going to, if you will remain faithful. See, I'm going to show you now the principles. What do you do when things are not working out? What do you do when it looks like the opposite is happening in your life? What do you do when it looks like what God promised you is not happening? What do you do when it looks like God has forgotten you? You have a choice then. Are you going to wallow in self-pity? Are you going to get in a fetal position? Or are you going to position yourself for favor? So the first thing that we have to see is sometimes trouble in our life is the source or the beginning of us positioning ourselves for favor. Something that ends in your life actually can be positioning you for another level of favor. See, you have to understand everything that they knew that was familiar to them was ending right here. I'm come to tell you today prophetically that when everything you're familiar with is gone, it could just be that the Lord is positioning you for greater favor. But if you don't understand, if you allow the enemy to come against your mind and you begin to have self-pity and you don't recognize what's going on, you can miss that Kairos moment of favor for you. The bad things, what you consider to be bad things, are sometimes God things. And he's just positioning you for the favor that you need. But if you don't respond right in trouble, if you don't respond right in loss, if you don't respond correctly when you don't understand what's going on, you miss what's ahead in the arena of favor. And that's what's going on right here. They had a choice to make. You know, many people would find themselves in this spot and they wouldn't have went. They wouldn't have moved. They'd have stayed there till they died. You have to recognize that tough moments and tough things in your life are sometimes the Lord setting you up to step into another season. The job that you lose today may lead to the job that quadruples your income tomorrow. Are you hearing me? It's quiet in here. I just feel that in the spirit. You have to understand that if you look at the natural circumstances here, it seemed hopeless. But they didn't stop in the middle of their hopelessness. They made a decision to move. Let's see what happens. So number one, you have to understand that you may be being positioned for favor. Many times when you are being positioned for favor, it will not look like that. It'll look like loss. Many times being positioned for favor looks like loss. So in Ruth chapter 1 verse 8 now, it says, "And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go return each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. And may the Lord grant that you find rest each in the house of her husband.' Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, 'No, but we will surely return with you to your people.'" I want you to notice something here now. Both daughters-in-law originally said, "We will go with you." When you're being positioned for favor, initially there will be people who say yes, but when you begin to make the walk, they will not be with you. You must not allow who does not come with you to stop you from moving forward. Not everyone will go into God's will with you. And what sometimes people tend to do is see the people who didn't go with them and then begin to interpret that as if God didn't want them to go either. Sometimes who leaves you is just know this, who leaves you is not an indication of whether or not you heard God unmoving. There were two daughters-in-law here. There was Ruth and there was Orpah. When they started out, they said, "We are going to go with you." But see, when you begin to walk the journey, it'll thin out some people. There'll be some people who said, "We'll never leave you nor forsake you," and they'll be the first ones to bail on you. That is not an indication of you, it's an indication of them. So I feel that in the atmosphere. Don't you allow the enemy to make you think because some people didn't take the journey with you that you've made the wrong decision. The reality is you've not made the wrong decision. They chose to go back and you chose to move forward, and favor is always forward. Did you hear that? That's a prophetic word. Favor is always forward. Some of you in this room keep looking behind you. How good it was. You have a wilderness mentality. You are forfeiting the great thing God has in front of you by wallowing in self-pity about what you lost behind you. What He has in front of you, what's behind you is not even worthy to be compared with what He has in your future, but you're too busy grieving over yesterday to step into the favor that He has for you. Yesterday's gone. Don't hang on to the loss. Don't hang on to the regret. Don't hang on to the disappointment. It's all a divine setup for you to walk in favor. Just break that. I feel that in the atmosphere. Wallowing around in yesterday. Yesterday's not worthy to be compared to where the Lord is taking you. But you've got to understand that He is with you. He has never left you. He's only put you in this place to transition you to something greater. When you get to where you're going, you'll look back at the fork in the road where you decided to go forward instead of stay back, and you'll say, "Oh my, what if I would have missed this moment? The Lord was setting me up for favor, and the enemy was coming against my mind trying to get me to go back. So one daughter-in-law here went back. We're going to see that. But see, when they started out, both of them said, "We're going to go with you." Very few of the people who tell you they're going with you are going. All it takes is one battle and they're out of there. One little brush with the enemy. Are you hearing me? But when those things begin to happen in your life, you have to recognize you're being set up for favor. Because favor's not an accident. So we have these two daughters-in-law. Naomi said, "Return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Return, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I said I have hope, if I should even have a husband tonight and also bear sons, would you therefore wait until they are grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you, for the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me." And they lifted their voices again and wept. Now, I want you to see something here. I'm getting this stuff prophetically. This is not in my notes, this part. You have to understand here that sometimes to position yourself for favor, you have to defy logic. You better let that sink in. See, we've been taught to see the circumstances of our life and process them logically. That's what Naomi was saying to them. She was giving them logic. Let me tell you, it's not like you're going to get any more sons from me. That's what circumstances said. That's what logic said. But Ruth did not go by logic. You were not created to walk according to knowledge. You were created to walk according to revelation. Natural circumstances are not what causes you to make the right decision. Revelation is what causes you to make the right decision. And you'll miss your moment. You'll miss your positioning of favor if you try to figure out why it's this way. Some of you in this room are stuck on the word why. Well, why, God? Well, why did this happen, God? Why'd you put me in this place, God? Why can't it? What you're really saying is, why can't it be the way I want it, God? I had it all mapped out, God, but you threw something in the mix that didn't fit my plan. And now I'm stuck. I'm stuck at why. Because when I think logically, this doesn't line up. But you weren't created to operate according to logic. And if you'll step out of trying to figure everything out in your head and follow what he's telling you, great favor's ahead for you. But if you continue to have a head like a rock and wrestle with God, you'll miss the Kairos moment that he has set up for you. Now think about this. They all had to be miserable before they left. It looked pretty bad. You get that? Husband's dead. No future. Looked pretty bad. So they made the decision to leave. But I want you to notice that Orpah, guess where Orpah went? Back. The only difference between favor and not favor sometimes is whether you go back. If it was already miserable, some of us need to be honest with ourselves. Do you know that we're such strange people that we can be miserable in a thing, and then God start to move us out of that thing, and we cry to get that thing back? I come to remind you today, you were miserable there, and God's setting you up. Why are you not letting to set you up? You didn't like it to start with. Why are you letting the enemy come against your mind? God's positioning you for great favor. There's revelation in here. You're whining over something you hated. And Orpah went back to her misery. I'm trying to tell you something. Orpah went back to her misery. But not Ruth. Because Ruth was getting positioned for favor. Get all that free. And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Which are you? You gonna kiss your mother-in-law by? Or you gonna cling to her? The decision. Favor is not an accident. You gonna hang on to what was, or you gonna step into what's coming? Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her, and she said, "Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods." When you're getting positioned for favor, the thing that you've counted as a god in your life will pull you backwards. The thing that you have trouble releasing is the thing that you worship. Hello? If God says to release it and you don't release it, it's your God. He's not. You better see that. What are you hanging on to this morning? It's your God. The thing that you have trouble releasing. So she went back to her gods. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So they both went until they came to Bethlehem, and when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them, and the women said, "Is this Naomi?" Now, what I've just given you is a picture of a Kairos moment. It's a decision made at the opportune time that determined favor. See, when they were standing at a fork in the road, making the decision whether to go forward or go back, Orpah chose to go back. But Ruth chose to seize her moment, her Kairos moment. When you're at the crossroads, sometimes you don't understand that the moment you're in is a Kairos moment. You do not understand sometimes when you come to the fork of the road that the decision that you're getting ready to make is going to determine the rest of your life. Hello? So if we look at these two women, they're standing at a place and the decision they're getting ready to make is going to determine their entire life right there in that moment. It's a picture of Kairos. Don't miss your moment. Orpah made a different decision. Decisions made at crucial times determine favor. Decisions made at crucial times determine favor. Decisions made at crucial times determine favor. But you must understand this, even if you make the right decision, the enemy will begin to come against your mind and tell you you did the wrong thing. Until you walk it out. But you must move forward, not behind you. All these thoughts and these things can come to your mind, but in reality, you're being positioned for favor. So decisions determine favor. That's a good principle for you to live by. Decisions determine favor. Sometimes when you look around and you see people walking in things that you wish you had, the only difference is their decisions. Decisions determine favor. So we see it right here in this moment. Then we find another key to walking in favor. Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me." Number two, faithfulness is the key to favor. You can look around and see somebody walking in great favor, but you don't understand the opportunities they had to give up, to quit, to not remain faithful. Now, there are some people in this room right now who were with me from day one. Tim Ray and Heather came to a meeting with about five people when we were at the meeting up on the Quality, where the Quality Inn is now, and they showed up, and Tim said, "That's where I'm staying." And he made a decision, just like this right here, to stay the rest of his life. And you don't even want to know the things that poor boy's lived in. And then came Becky, same thing. And then came Donnie. These people have seen things at their worst. But you see, they were faithful. Some people came and left. But they're not here to participate as favor begins to come. Faithfulness opens the door to favor. You have to understand that. So she was faithful to her mother-in-law, and that opened the door to favor. See, sometimes we see people walking in favor. You know the end of this story. You know what happens. But I'm trying to connect the dots for you as to how she was even there. She wouldn't have even been in the position to get favor from Boaz if she hadn't followed these principles. Decisions lead to favor. Faithfulness leads to favor. So I remember when the Lord began to do things here, I remember Tim saying, "My goodness, after all these years of fighting, clawing, toiling, God is doing what you said. You must understand that. He knows this. I was saying this was going to happen a long time ago. I said it when I looked at three people. I said it when I looked at five people. I said it when I looked at no people. I said it when it was cold in the room. I said it when it was hot. I said it when the bathroom was in the middle of the sanctuary and flush while you were preaching. I said it when there was checkered tile on the floor. I still said it. And they remained faithful to it. And if you remain faithful, you will receive favor. Many people want favor, but they don't want to be faithful. And you don't, it's easy to be faithful when everything's good. It doesn't take a great prophetic anointing to see when somebody's succeeding. But will you remain faithful when you have not seen it with your natural eyes? See, they remain faithful. Ruth said, "Where you go, I go." She was faithful. You also have to understand that relationship, divine connection, is the key to favor. Favor does not happen on its own. The door to favor opens through relationship. One relationship can open the door of your destiny. You do not need everyone to like you. You just need one person to like you that can bless you. Relationships open the door to favor. Let's go back and talk about spiritual fathering. As long as you're a rebel, you won't have favor. And if you can't think of no other reason to submit and get under authority, do it because you want favor, because you're not getting it until you do. As long as you keep flapping that thing in your mouth, you'll miss out on favor. Favor's going to pass you by. Your brother's going to get favor. Your sister's going to get favor. And you're going to be stuck. Connection. Relationship. Opens the door of destiny. Do you understand that one of the things about spiritual fathering is a spiritual father opens doors for you in your life that you can't open. They know people you don't know. They know how to do things you don't know how to do. Would you rather knock a door open or have someone hold it open for you? Well, see, favor begins to come upon your life when you allow the right person to hold the door open for you. See, they've been through the door before. I see this plainly. You ever been walking around in a strange place you've never been before? Here you are looking everywhere. Where's the door to this place? How in the, anybody, surely it's just not me who said, how in the world do you get in this place? Anybody ever been there? How do you get into this place? And you're walking around, and then somebody who knows where the door is. You encounter somebody who knows where the door is. I feel the Holy Spirit about right now. See, that's divine relationship. You need to submit yourself because somebody knows where the door is. They've been there before. Sometimes we got to lay down our pride and understand they've been there already. They've made the trip already. They know where the door is. Favor comes through relationship. I'm going to write a book, How Not to Plant a Church. If you feel like you're called to plant a church, the best thing for you to do is find somebody who knows where the door is. I can tell you where it's not, because I've tried to make one all over the place. Are you understanding that relationship? Favor comes through relationship. Being faithful to the ordained relationship that the Lord has placed you in brings favor to your life. Ruth stayed connected to her divine relationship where Orpah did not, which ultimately led to the place of favor. The only reason she got favor is she stayed connected where God said to be connected. She understood the relationship in her life, and the relationship opened the door to favor. I wish I'd have known this 14 years ago. I wouldn't be as smart as I am now, though, had I not messed up so many times. Still in the process. Now let's look at Ruth chapter 2, verse 2. Are you catching some principles here to walk in favor? And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean among ears of grain after one in whose field I might find favor. Whose sight? Where's favor? Sight. Favor is God causing someone to see you. She said, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I might find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she just happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. She just happened. No, she didn't just happen. The lines fell to her in pleasant places because back on the road when Orpah went back, she stayed faithful. She had held on to the relationship she was supposed to have. So when you do these, when you operate in these principles, you position yourself for favor. She didn't just happen to come up on the field of Boaz. Her destiny of coming to the field of Boaz was determined way back behind her when she made the decision. Yeah. But she happened to find herself in Boaz's field. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, may the Lord be with you. And they said to him, may the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? The servant in charge of the reapers replied, she is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. And he said, please let me glean. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while. Then Boaz said to Ruth, listen carefully, my daughter. Do not glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay where here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants drew. What was favor again? You're going to reap what you haven't sown. Somebody else is going to do the labor, and you're going to get the benefit. Go drink the water that somebody else worked to get. Because your decisions have positioned you for favor. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your sight? Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? Boaz replied to her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and came to people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. Then she said, I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. We're talking about keys and principles to favor. She said, sir, why have I found favor in your sight? He said, all that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth. Serving opens the door to favor. You better get that. Ruth was not just out trying to get food for herself. Ruth was out gleaning to take care of her mother-in-law. She was serving. The more you're willing to serve, the more favor will come upon your life. Servanthood is the proper positioning for favor. If you can't serve, favor will not come upon you. Hello? The reason that he had favor upon her is because he saw that she served. Serving opens the door of favor. Ruth chapter 3 verse 6. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came secretly and uncovered his feet and lay down. It happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled and bent forward, and behold, a woman was lying at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maid. So spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative." Then he said, "May you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after young men, whether rich or poor. Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask. For all my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence." One of the things that Boaz said to Ruth was, "I recognize that you have done everything that your mother-in-law commanded you to do." Obedience, submission to authority, opens a door of favor. Submission to authority opens the door to favor. Sometimes when blessing is not flowing in your life, it's because you are not submitted to authority. Obedience always brings blessing. And it says she did everything her mother-in-law commanded her. Responding correctly to authority leads to favor. Being teachable and receiving direction and instruction are keys to favor. Getting wisdom from those who are more experienced brings favor. You will find, wherever you find poverty, wherever you find lack of favor, you will find unteachable people. Hello? You will find people who have a head like a rock. The number one statement of people who miss favor and rebel against authority is, "I know. I know how. I know. Been there, done that, got a whole closet full of t-shirts. I'm trying to burn them. I know. I know what I'm doing. I know how to do it." And see, when you have the attitude of "you know how to do it," you're missing what God's put in your life to get you to the next level. Are you hearing me? She submitted herself to authority and she obeyed the command that was given to her. Rebellion will keep you out of favor. There ain't no rebellious people in here, though. I'm just throwing out that there for good measure. She responded correctly to authority. I feel the Holy Spirit hanging around in here. It's quiet. It's like a Baptist church, but I hope it's because you're getting revelation instead of you're bored. Think about it. Being teachable, receiving instruction, brings favor in your life. Ruth 4:13. So Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Now let's go back again. All the way back at the fork in the road. I'm trying to talk to you about Kairos. I'm trying to talk to you about favor is a decision. The decision you make today opens the door of favor that you walk in tomorrow. One decision. I want you to feel the weight of that. The two women were standing here. One chose to go back. One chose to go forward. The only difference between the two is one seized that Kairos moment. One did not. So we see now that as Ruth began to move into this place, favor began to come to her life. I hear you, Holy Spirit. I hear you, Holy Spirit. What you go through is not about you. You better hear this. What you are going through now is not about you.
Lord,
it's not about you. set up for you. Things are not what they appear. When you're in that moment, why'd I lose my job, Lord? Why'd this happen to me, God? And you only focus on you, and you don't get the big picture. The scripture says we are to comfort others with the grace whereby we've been comforted. It's never about you. It's about who you're going to help as a result of where you have been. I want somebody to get free right now. It's not about you. And if you want to get free, quit thinking about you. Me-itis should die right here in this room. I'm about ready to show you as I close this. It was never about Ruth. But I want to set this up for you. Back there at the fork in the road. Oh my. It didn't look any different for Ruth than it did for Orpah. Do you see that? The circumstances were no different for Ruth than they were for Orpah. The only difference is they chose differently. But I got news for you. It wasn't about Ruth finding Boaz. Something far greater was taking place back there at the fork in the road. At the fork in the road when Orpah left, Orpah lost her influence in your life. You realize that? Orpah was supposed to influence your life, but she went back. So finally, Boaz comes in and Ruth has a child. In Ruth chapter 4, verse 16, then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and became his nurse. The neighbor women, I'm about to, man, I feel the Lord. The neighbor women gave him a name saying, a son has been born to Naomi. So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Way who is the lineage of Jesus Christ. Way back there at the fork in the road, when she chose her moment, she was on her way to be in the lineage to birth the Lord Jesus Christ in a stable somewhere in Bethlehem. All the people around her could have said, it doesn't make any sense. Everything in her mind said, it doesn't make any sense. There's nothing there for me, baby. But she went, and because she went, she stepped into favor, and not only did she have favor for herself, she is connected to you because she carried the lineage of Jesus Christ based on a decision she made back at the fork in the road. She didn't miss her moment. She got her Kairos moment. She seized her moment.
Amen.
What will you miss if you miss your moment? I just come to leave somebody with some encouragement today. Whatever's going on in your life, it's not about what's going on right now. There's something far greater in your future. And the Lord is just positioning you for favor. And let me add one to you. Are you willing to be uncomfortable? Most people miss favor and destiny because they like what's familiar. Ruth gave up everything she had and walked a long ways. If you're not willing to pay the price. See, some people want favor, they're not willing to pay the price. Even when you seize your moment, you have to walk it out. What am I saying to you? Favor upon your life impacts generations to come. Choosing to make the right decision, choosing not to miss your moment of opportunity impacts generations. I've come to prophesy to you today, the fork in the road where you're standing is about generations. It's not about you. So you better get it right where you are. It's about the generations. Don't let what's behind you keep you from stepping into your moment. Because it's about the generations. It's about a generational anointing and blessing. Seize your moment.